Good afternoon. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a league of nations among other internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is November 15th, 2007. PIVTR is the internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIVTR is also dedicated to helping publish mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves, the services, books, and products to the media. And now from 3 to 3:45, let me present to you Lorraine Cohan and Powerful with two L's Living. Good afternoon, Lorraine.
Good afternoon, Lillian, and thank you. Welcome to Powerful Living Radio, compelling conversations for business success, personal transformation, and spiritual inspiration. I'm your host, Lorraine Cohan. Many people today are questioning who they are, what their life purpose is, how to have more abundance in all areas of their life. Today, we'll be talking about affirmations and spiritual lessons for feeling full of yourself with my special guest, Charlene Proctor. Let me tell you about Charlene. Charlene Proctor is the author of the best-selling Let Your Goddess Grow, Seven Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking. She's also written the Women's Book of Empowerment, 323 Affirmations That Change Everyday Problems into Moments of Potential. She holds a Doctor of Philosophy degree from the University of Michigan. She's the founder of the Goddess Network, which is an online community with over 38,000 members. They inspire women to rediscover their own ability to lead authentic lives with confidence. An author, researcher, and educator in the field of women's empowerment and positive thinking, she helps develop self-empowerment strategies for women in all walks of life, from affirmations to online sacred circles and self-help groups. Her lectures, workshops, and electronic programs reach a worldwide audience daily. She's championed the cause of the environment by investigating recycling technologies and research learning organizations and female leadership. However, her work with the Goddess Network gives her the greatest pleasure. While deeply committed to helping others along with their spiritual and soul journey, she obtains balance in her own life from her husband and two teenage boys in the Detroit metropolitan area. You'll want to visit her website, which is www.thegoddessnetwork.net. Welcome, Charlene.
Hey, thanks for having me today. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. I know you are a very busy woman because I just read your bio.
Yeah, it sounds a little daunting, but I keep up with it, so.
I know you do.
I'm a information channel for the divine, so I just say that my employer is the god and goddess of all there is, and just keep on keeping on.
I understand, and I know from my own experience it's a 24/7 job.
Oh, it's true. I mean, you never get away from it. I mean, you go to bed with ideas, you wake up with more tasks and ideas, and
yeah.
There's just the thing that's nice about it is that there's always somebody out there to help and to inspire.
Yeah.
And there's just never seems to be enough earth time to accomplish all of that. But that's what makes a full life.
It is, and it's so
a
rewarding,
a full and happy
isn't it?
Life, yeah. You have to keep moving forward. And it's really funny, but I have to tell you that I was in this just last night, a women's group. And there were women in there that just seemed like they had not enough to do, and it never ceases to amaze me as how we could ever arrive at that point in life, you know.
To not have enough to do.
How could you not have enough to do with all the work there is to do in the world? So, at any rate.
I'm astonished by that.
Yeah, me too.
I have no frame of reference. Well, listen, I'm so thrilled that you're joining me today, and please, you know, Tell my listeners, what is the Goddess Network? You've got 38,000 members, which certainly speaks for a lot of people who are attracted to your site. So share a little bit about what the Goddess Network is about, why you started it, what is it that the Goddess Network has to offer that people are running to hear about?
We started this originally about 8 years ago as an online educational community for women to just look, who are looking to expand their perspectives and how spirit works in their lives. So we talked about affirmative thinking and building confidence and learning different ways to love yourself. And we just became this big educational hub for women who were looking to just expand their perspective on their own spirituality and whatever wisdom tradition. And I love that because it goes to show that there's just that always one binding thing together for everyone, and that is that we want to find this divine presence within us no matter our wisdom tradition. So we started this, we built a really good website, and we started out with 10 people in our database, and now it's pushing about 40,000, which is exciting because those are people that are subscribed to us. They're not just random hits or sessions on the internet. So that's exciting. And in the beginning, we were really attracted to this idea of the goddess as an archetype for women's power because I believe, and still do, that in our culture, we don't have enough metaphors or ideas for women to embrace their own divinity. And a lot of women found that concept, that idea, or that metaphor to be very, very helpful for them to go inside and really bring out their authenticity. So I remember the day that I started the Goddess Network, and I was sitting outside of this organization that I work for in my car, and I just couldn't get out of the car. I had realized at that one moment that I had spent far too much time in a left brain field. I used to be a social scientist, and I did simulations for corporations for quadrant four problems.
Oh my goodness.
So I was like a real left brain mechanistic logic bot because, you know, I realized at after a certain point, and maybe a lot of people can relate to this, is that we reach a certain age and we feel terribly out of balance. We don't feel that fullness or that holism inside of us, and we're certainly not demonstrating in our life because our whole system of values for me before I started the Goddess Network was that my left and right brain was completely out of whack. I hadn't done anything all those years to cultivate my sense of being a woman and rejoicing in this feminine nature that we have, which is all about our intuition and compassion. And so I wanted to spend the last half of my life integrating those ideas more fully and robustly into my professional work. So that's why I started it.
Well, you know, I'm reminded in my mid-30s, which was a while ago, that was a pivotal point in my life where I see that as a period of my beginning to awaken more fully. And to your point, I was so much at a loss because that goes back, you know, about 20 years. And when I look at the resources that are available now and where it was then, it was very different then. And now women are so hungry. You know, when we came into the new millennium, there was a lot of writing. I know I felt it, that there was a shifting on the planet of the female energy becoming the dominating force on the planet. And so many women were feeling a calling inside to confront their femininity and allowing their power to emerge. And I see a lot of women really struggling with claiming their greatness. You know, that Marianne Williamson quote is one of my favorites. I'm sure you've heard it, about, you know, that we're not here to play small. And so we need resources and we need the support to be able to claim that power inside of ourselves.
Now, what year do you recall that that happened for you? Was that like around the year 2000?
No, it was
earlier. Oh, it was way earlier? Well, maybe I was on the tail end of the divine feminine energy movement.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. You know, I was thinking about when I awoke.
Oh, no.
Around 2000, yes.
Yeah, and... Yes. And wasn't it funny? And I know maybe there's a lot of people that would say that's really woo-woo, you know, as we say in some of our workshops. But, mm-hmm. you know, I always remind everybody that I come from a real left-brain science background. So I'm like the most logical and well-thought person you're ever going to meet when it comes to this stuff. Yeah. But I could feel it. Yeah. I really could. And I was so compelled to find a way to express it, and it came into me so suddenly, and I honestly have never really talked about this before, is I felt it coming through me as a calling.
Yes.
And there's a, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, and this is what it just reminded me of, is that we shall never arrive at peace while we deal in pairs of opposites. And you know what that means to me? It means that we have this this matter, which is our earthbound nature, which is our physical side.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have, of course, our spiritual side, which is our eternal side. So the earth matter side is represented by the divine feminine or the mother consciousness, and the spiritual or eternal is represented by the father. But that can never, ever be turned against itself. It's totally against the natural law. So to me, unity is where our global commitment is heading, and it has been for quite a while. But for me, and maybe for others like you and others out there who are listening, is whatever we can do to embrace bringing those pairs of opposites together in our world, it's about fusing this male-female energy, and it's about coming together in all of our outlooks and our capabilities. That is what is going to change the planet, and there is a huge movement right now. And I'll tell you, I saw it bustling a couple years ago, but never as much as it has in the last 4 or 5 months, and I don't know if that's because we're coming up on a political election or whatever, but in my field, there's such a stirring to be able to find a way to articulate it. So I'm really happy that I'm doing what I'm doing now. We do a lot of empowerment programs. Everybody's really interested in manifesting reality. That's kind of the new catchphrase on everyone's tongue, so we can talk a little bit about that. But this is all good stuff.
It is.
This is stuff that's been buried for so long, and now that it's reaching more of the mainstream, and thank goodness we're getting movies out there like The Secret and Bleep and all this other stuff, I'm just so happy that it's reaching a wider audience. And women have known this all along. It's certainly not news to us.
It's so true. And, of course, when you look at the how the media and some of the movies and the conversations, to me, I take that as a confirmation that the time is right. There's a reason why we're having more outward conversations like this. And when I think of your point about the blending of the two sides, the phrase that came to mind was a soft strength, a softening to that those edges, so that we can show up and be firm and solid within ourselves and be able to bring that compassionate peace into it without having to give up ourselves, you know, at the expense of that. So much of the empowerment piece is about being softly strong.
Exactly, because nobody can be logical, quantitative, mechanistic, compartmentalize, and be all that. I mean, we have to weave in the intuitive and holistic and emotional side of our natures, and that goes for men too.
Absolutely.
But the problem culturally is that we've never seen those things as strengths. They haven't been worshipped. They haven't been thought of as sacred qualities.
Yes.
In Western culture is really in a conundrum about that, because then maybe we can talk about this next time. But you know, religion has got all of everyone in a conundrum about this, because there's a lot in Western culture that talks about women not having you know, worthiness because of certain things about being female. So it's all being uprooted now. I mean, we're plowing the soil and we're transforming the very patterns that have been consistent in our society and our culture for so long, and it's such a good thing. I mean, maybe this is this the age of Aquarius? I don't know.
I
I don't know if we're still in the hippie stage or not, but it's good that
it's
all of
all
this
good.
Is bubbling up, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I always encourage people to be looking at it that way because it's so easy to stand back and say, it looks like the world is in such trouble, and to see it as a negative. And my comment has consistently been, I'm excited about that, because whenever there is a stirring of the pot and it starts to generate conversations, then it opens doors to possibilities. And if you look at our history of evolution, it has come through many periods of upheaval. When people have been challenged to think differently, when there's been a series of catastrophes, it throws people off kilter. And when they're off kilter, there is oftentimes a willingness to hear something or do something that they've not been willing to do when they've been so securely rooted in a behavior or a thought.
Exactly. And there's two things I can comment on about that. The first is I'm thinking of the goddess, the Hawaiian goddess, Madame Pele. You know, the whole, you know, well, she's all about transformation because she's about the volcano erupting and the blowing of the steam. And when this volcano erupts, the lava pours down and pretty much blackens everything around and kills, well, it looks on the outside like everything is dead. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, it's all regenerating. So the mythology for her is about transformation through chaos. And that is what you're saying.
Yes.
The other thing is that people who have a negative outlook, I'm sorry, but they're just generating the same reality for themselves all over again. There's so much power to thinking positive and affirming the good no matter what it is in your life. To me, that's how certainly the media needs to change. I think, I don't know. I hope I see that in my lifetime. I know that there's definitely more emphasis on it now, but we've got a long way to go to reprogram people and to make them understand that when they think positive and when they affirm the goodness and who they are, they're going to vibrate or resonate to that idea, and they're going to bring more of that into their lives.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and I certainly hope that I do see that in my lifetime. I have a very, very good friend who's a former newscaster, and remember we had had this conversation. She's very spiritual, and she had said that they had tried that a couple of times, and the ratings weren't very strong. And I thought to myself, well, how sad is that? Right? And, of course, you know, I had also heard, and I haven't had a chance to see this, but in other countries, such as Canada, they don't do the news the way we do.
Oh, why? Is it a more positive presentation?
Yes, that's what I heard. So maybe if there are some Canadian listeners, you can send me in an email and you could let me know whether, you know, what your thoughts are on that and, you know, welcome finding out whether what I've just said was accurate. I appreciate that.
Well, like I said before, there's still a lot of work to be done just on teaching people plain, ordinary, positive thinking. I've done this many times, and it always sounds kind of silly, you know, because on the outside it seems so easy to do.
Yeah.
But when we're in a groove with our old neural networks and we have behavioral patterns and so forth that are so ingrained in our brains and we're completely unconscious in how we're expressing it, and believe me, I know this because I come from a family of big negative people. I mean, they're all very wonderful, beloved people, but their conversational habits are such that they are just so rooted in thinking negative about everything, they don't even know that they're doing it anymore.
Absolutely. You know, I call that being asleep at the wheel.
Oh, yeah. So to try to get people to be more consciously aware of just their state of mind is hugely challenging. And we fill our minds up and think about visually what we see every day, and I don't know how many thoughts we have every day. It's something like, I don't know, I heard 30,000, but maybe it's more than that, I don't know. But think about all the information we're processing all the time, and it's like we have these monkey minds. We're constantly shifting from one thing to another thing to another thing, and there's very little time to be centered and quiet and really focused. And positive thinking and affirmative realization is very much a conscious present day moment discipline, and it takes practice.
Yeah.
But I know that in my work, when you have the daily discipline to arrest the old thought patterns and really consciously create your present day, it is like a magnet for prosperity and success. And I think that's how we feel full. That's how we're getting feedback from our environment that says you are a conscious co-creator with God.
Yeah.
Because when you are able to resonate with the thing that you want to be or where you want to be or what you want, you become that. And it's a trained skill, and everybody can do it. There's no mystery about it. I really see that taking more firm hold in our world in the next 20 years is very exciting.
I feel the exact same way. Now, you mentioned two different phrases, and I'd like you to talk a little bit more about what the distinction is. You mentioned affirmative realization, and you said using affirmations.
Mm.
Say a little bit more about what you mean by that, and also why is that important for people to know about?
Well, an affirmation is simply a positive present-day statement that declares what's real and present in your life. So because you're in present moment awareness and you realize that that's where the power is, not in the past or in the future, it's important to, you know, to think in that present tense. For example, I am is one of the most powerful statements in the universe, because what it does is it's kind of a declaration of your unlimited substance, because I am in spiritual literature means the God self.
Right.
So what we're trying to do is resonate with that idea that we are present, and we are claiming responsibility for what we're creating, because all we have to do is ask and it's given. I know that's a tough concept for people, but it's one of our
natural. There's also a book on that.
Yeah, I know. It's
which
a natural
I love.
Yeah, I know. I love that. You could read
it.
That 100 times and
I
get
know.
Something good out of it each time. But.
It's perfect, you know, because there are so many great resources out
yeah.
right now that are supporting the concepts that you talk about, that I talk about, so that anybody who is seeking will be able to find a multitude of different tools and people to help them along their path.
Yeah, so in terms of affirmations, it's this process, this way of thinking that creates your reality. So you're seeing life as you want to see yourself, and you're seeing yourself within the life that, you know, you're creating and everyone else. So I am is about this eternal moment of now. It's about the eternal present moment.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the reason that we practice affirming through affirmations is that if we want to see ourselves as powerful, feeling full, feeling that we're a conscious co-creator with the divine, you can't resent from the past and take up space worrying about the future, because that's not where change happens.
Mm-hmm.
I always teach people, if you want to make change in your life, you have to make space for it. You've got to let go of old
yeah.
activities, old thoughts and feelings and resentments that have been festering there for years that no longer serve your higher self. By the same token, if you're worrying all the time about what's going to happen tomorrow, there's no space in your life today to be creative and to focus that energy on present moment awareness and creating the thing in your mind that you want to manifest, because everything starts in the mind first.
Right.
You can't just snap your fingers and make magic. I mean, I'd love to be like Harry Potter and just wave the wand with the phoenix feather or whatever the heck he's got
yeah,
in there.
That's right.
But it's not the way that it works. So
yeah.
So that's what an affirmation is, and affirmative thinking is really a discipline. But affirmative realization, and I know Michael Beckwith talks a lot about this, and I hope I do him justice and articulate this right, but our affirmative realization is more of visioning and aligning to the vibration of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
There was a New Thought minister in the 40s, and his name was Emmett Fox. Have you ever read? Do you remember his
stuff?
He wrote these little teeny weeny books, you know, that look like the Harry Krishner's pet or whatever. But
I told you I'm dating myself.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, these little tiny books are just wonderful because a lot of times they're just his old lectures from church services. And he wrote one, oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite ones. It's about the mental equivalent. And in that, and this, believe me, has a point because I'm going to tell people what affirmative realization is that if you want to demonstrate something, and remember I said that it's about aligning and visioning to this vibration of what you want. Emmett Fox used to teach this by saying if you want to manifest something in your life, you have to have clarity and passion. Mm-hmm. You have to really visualize and understand and know what it is you're asking for. And it has to be consistent. You just can't really ask once and put it aside. I mean, if you're doing that, you're really good at the process. And maybe you ought to come into the Goddess Network and teach a couple of classes here. But for most of us, it's about clarity and consistency. And the other half of affirmative realization is passion. You have to be able to put yourself in the feeling of having and experiencing the thing that you want. It's about being in harmony with the thing that you want. And you have to love yourself in that environment of having what you want. So to me, affirmative realization is like turning the power way up on affirmations. I mean, you could say an affirmation, I am prosperous, I am beautiful, I am successful, and just kind of chant it without any, you know, passion. I think you have to add in that pow, that emotional energy, and women are so good at this, that really fuels what it is that you want and really, as I said, resonate with that at a deep level so that you're constantly attracting both consciously and unconsciously what it is that you want.
Now, you just mentioned a point that I definitely want to bring home, and that is the emotional component. And I know that this is something that that Esther and Jerry Hicks really talk about, is how important it is to pay attention to where your emotional charge is, where you are on the scale that they lay out, so that you're constantly reaching for a better feeling thought and aligning more with what you want. What I also think is very important that I heard you talk about today, that I hear missing in some things, is bringing the presence of God into it. That we recognize that we are the source and the creator of our reality in relationship with the divine. And I don't hear that enough, especially when I'm looking at some of the material out there. The other thing that I really found that was fascinating for me was, again, you know, going back 20 years, I at that time was literally eating every book that I could find because I had just busted open in my own spirituality, and I found myself reading books by John Randolph Price.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever read The Manifestation Process?
Yes. I read everything he wrote, right?
That was such a little gem.
And his abundance book, which I want you to know I ordered again.
Yep.
And what was interesting is that the turnkey piece for me, because to your point, I would say different statements, and I would try to feel into them, and I wasn't able to do it as much as I would have liked. I'm sure it had to do with who I was and where I was at the time. Now, because I have grown a bit and have really implemented daily practices of deep gratitude for all the blessings that come my way, both good and maybe not always wanted, I'm really finding that my ability to focus on manifesting things or working with certain types of systems that bring me into that connection with putting out what I want and connecting with the divine is much more powerful because of some of the gratitude work that I've done. It is enabling me to access some feelings and emotions that I couldn't get to before.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the whole idea, and I want to explain gratitude a little bit if we can.
Sure.
Is that if we understand that everything we ask for is given and that we live in this big, giant, eternal moment of now, which is the present moment, you know that what you're asking for is already there. Once you ask for it, it's done. And so the ritual of gratitude is about acknowledging that and giving thanks. For example, we sit down to eat, we're giving thanks for what we're about to receive, right? At the table, we already know that meal is going to go down good and taste great, and we can already experience because we know that we are already in receipt of that meal. And as you said, when you get in the habit of being and expressing this deep gratitude for something, it really seals the deal, and that's what they were talking about in the secret about the visioning boards. And since that movie, I taught people a lot about how to do that and to be thankful for this vision that they've created, because it's already done and it's already there and present and waiting for them in their lives.
Exactly. Yeah. And what they're looking now to do is not to make it happen. They're clearing the path so that they are moving towards what is waiting for them.
Exactly. And I think people, and this is just my sense of the matter, I don't know, you can share your own stories with the folks that you work with, but people have a lot of old thinking on abundance and prosperity.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Oh, my gosh. That is the hardest thing to generate, because the first thing when somebody wants to understand positive thinking and affirmative realization is, well, I want to create more money. And so we're constantly, talking about that. But the problem is that there are a lot of people that think there's something wrong with abundance, and they feel guilty when they have this prosperous life because they think that others are lacking because of their abundance.
So
there's this concept that there's never going to be enough to go around, and this whole concept of deserving something. I think those are based in maybe a lot of early messages we might receive as children, or even impressionable adults that tell us money's evil or bad, or rich people are mean or whatever. So using affirmations and affirmative realization to feel more prosperous is the basic first step to being prosperous. You have to generate the prosperity vibration before something is received. And having the gratitude, see, is the thing that seals the deal. It makes you say thank you for this abundance and this inexhaustible supply, because it's my natural state. So again, like attracts like. So be in your mind and heart what you most desire, and you'll become it.
Absolutely.
I wonder if we can use that to look like we're 26 again.
You would think we could.
I'm getting younger every day. There's an affirmation. I am getting younger every day.
I look so gorgeous.
No, I am gorgeous.
Right, I am.
That
gorgeous.
Would be the goddess statement
That's
of the day.
Right. That's right. Well, Sina, that I could definitely work with. Hello, gorgeous.
I know. So, well, being in harmony, just being in harmony with the thing that you want. And I teach this to so many people. I did a big workshop last year for homeless women. It wasn't just once. It was like a four-month program. And I'll tell you, if they can get it, anybody can get it. They were like little sponges sucking up this material. And once they started to believe, good things began to happen to them, and they began to feel more in charge and fuller, because they could actually get some feedback from the world and their environment that is saying, you know what, these are the effects of your positive thinking, and it's working for you.
And, again, people are hungry. I've always been a very big reframer, and I've consistently challenged my clients to expand their lens of perception, to look at something from a broader canvas. And when people can do that, it's very freeing, as you know, because it gives them permission to entertain and to imagine something more than what they're originally thinking. And about two or three years ago, I had an opportunity to work with a gentleman on a four-month program that had to do with prosperity, and he happened to do this little exercise that puts you in touch with your attitudes about money, and it startled me because I actually initially, not anymore, I backed away from this rush. It was like a river of money coming towards me, and I literally felt momentarily overwhelmed until I was able to relax into it. And it surprised me that I had had that kind of reaction because, of course, I was saying I'm open to receive, you know, prosperity and everything. And then when it came, it kind of scared me. Wait a minute. Okay. All right. I'm okay now. All right. Bring it on.
You know what? This is really funny because I heard this thing a couple of weeks ago about why people who win the lottery seem to lose most of their money. I mean, not everybody, but a lot of them do, or somebody wins a big prize. And it's because, I thought this was so interesting, and it really rang true for me. Not that I've won the lottery, but I see
you're open
there.
To.
Yeah. That would be really good.
That would really be gorgeous.
is that they don't have the prosperity, discipline, and vibration already intact to be able to handle that money, so they can't hang on to it. It becomes very slippery. So energetically, they can identify with that relationship with money. I mean, they see it in the big numbers and the cars and all the things that they may buy, but they haven't really learned the discipline energetically to keep that going.
Absolutely. That was one of the comments that T. Harv Eker had said years ago when the Secrets of the Millionaire Mind was so big, and he likened that example to people who, and he himself at a certain point in time was also doing that. There was an ebb and flow in his family growing up, and so he was used to having money and then not having money. And so to your point, when people are of that mindset of being uncomfortable, of being prosperous, they get rid of it as fast as they can.
Oh, that's true.
They can give some to me. I'm
Have you ever met somebody who says, oh, if I had $1 million, I just wouldn't know what to do with it? Well, could that possibly be why you don't have $1 million? Is because you're already just saying that you wouldn't know what to do with it. I mean, if I had that, I would know exactly what to do with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Or when I get it, I'll know exactly what I'm going to do with it.
Better.
Because you have to really lock into that. And I don't know. You know, we live in a world that's constructed with this money principle. And it's necessary. I mean, it's our exchange of services and values and so forth. And we're very focused on that for a wide variety of reasons, none of which are truly bad unless, you know, you're raising money for terrorist ops and other things like that. But it would be interesting. And I know that's happening because there's so many more seminars and workshops out there on how to use the power of positive and affirmative thinking to create just the money that you need to keep the flow going.
Well, you know, that sounds like a perfect call to action. I always say this every week, that when we have had a conversation, I like to move, the time goes so quickly, that the listeners have an opportunity to grab on to something that they will implement in the next 24 to 48 hours. And that is, I am going to challenge you to look at any beliefs that you have about money, to write some of them down, and to create an affirmation, maybe just three affirmations starting with I am, that will help you to begin to change the way you think about money. And you probably, you know, I've heard, you know, write it 10 times and do it every day for 21 days. If you have one specific that you really like that you encourage people to do, Charlene, please go ahead and share that.
Well, I could pull an affirmation out of my head about money. You want me to say that?
Yeah, how about that?
All right, maybe we could end with that. And this is out of the Book of Empowerment. I just thumbed through it, and there's one that came up. Money never comes easily. Should I read it?
Sure.
Do we have time? I'm grateful. Again, I am grateful for every gift in my life. Mm-hmm. I am an open channel to receive all my goodness, no matter where it comes from. Mm-hmm. I'm now opening the door to an abundant and prosperous world, and I step through with joy. I love being receptive to all good in my life. I thank the universe for every gift that comes my way and know I am always ready to receive my good from everywhere, everything, and everyone.
I love that.
So that is my affirmative thought for the day on money. How'd we get into money?
Well,
we have to do another show. We've got a lot to talk about.
We'll definitely talk about that. Charlene, please tell folks again how they can find you, and if you have anything special that you're doing right now, please, you know, let the listeners know about that.
The best place to find me is either Google my name, Charlene Proctor. There'll be lots of articles and places that you can visit me, but mostly at www.thegoddessnetwork.net. I'd love for you to read my books on affirmations, and my spiritual lessons are out there, and I'll have a new one coming out next year. So just go to the website and stay tuned.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
For people who have not been to my site, please visit it. It's powerfulwith2ls-living.biz. In the last several weeks, I launched my fear audio program, Transform Your Fear into Power. You're going to want to grab it because it's really that great. Not only will you get a copy of the audio program, you'll also get the 18-page script and a workbook with over $1,600 worth of bonuses from bonus gifts from leaders in the field, including one from Charlene.
Yeah.
So thrilled about that. So go onto my website and check that out. Also, listen to me again on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/powerful. Again, that second L, living. I'm going to be officially broadcasting from Blog Talk Radio beginning December 1. And next week, you'll be hearing a pre-recorded show from our archives due to the holiday, which is Thanksgiving here in the United States, and I hope that you all enjoy it. The closing quote for today, happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. That's a quote by Dennis Waitley. Again, I want to thank my special guest, Charlene Proctor, for joining me today. Thank you again so much.
You're welcome.
Until next week, I wish you all powerful living and a very happy and a healthy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You've just listened to Lorraine Cohan and Powerful with 2 L's Living. And if you want to hear this all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. On the left-hand side of the page, click on Archives. A list of names will appear. Lorraine Cohan's will be there. So that's where you can hear it again. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And something from Emily Bronte, who says, I'll walk where my own nature would be leading. It vexes me to choose another guide. Thank you very much for listening. Our next scheduled program begins at 8 o'clock tonight with Janet Elaine Smith and What's Happening, and then coming this Sunday evening from 9 to 11 in the evening with Rowena Cherry and her special guests who talk about representing and working with different charitable organizations and how they give some of their royalties and all their time to it during the year. Year in, year out. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a grand evening. And remember, keep listening.